Sometimes my life
that's
to come
all
here.
Matters.
But I get here. I get from buoy to buoy to buoy, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
And I thank God for this refuge, this place of peace.
Amen.
You know, I just never want to, like, sit down and not praise God. Praise God. My heart. I know I have a part to play.
Right.
And I'm going to do everything in my power to do that part, to put it out there for the
Amen.
World. You know, you talked about this prayer cloth and that the kids have this layer of protection around them.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was telling Riley, I was like, you create your own atmosphere. I tell her all the time.
Amen.
You know, you go out to this place and I, you know, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much. I'm just so excited
right.
to be here.
Amen. You know,
today was a rough day and I'm happy to
come
be
on,
here.
Come on, come on. Amen. Amen, sis.
That's right.
That's right.
You come here and it's so beautiful. The rest, you know. I love this place.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Let's sing When He Reached Down.
My Savior above, He gave me peace.
sit back there getting ready, and I'm anxious, you know. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what I'm going to sing. And I come here, and I just feel better. I want to sing it over and over again. Just keep, get that spirit off of me, Lord. You know, I just, I was battling myself. I woke up Sunday late, but I had all these thoughts in my mind. I was battling myself. I didn't say anything Sunday morning, Sunday night. And, man, I had all these thoughts, and they're going to leave me now. I trust God.
Amen. You know,
no matter what it looks like. Because I've been through some stuff, and Satan's tried to pull me out. I'm like, I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Sorry,
Amen.
Bub.
Drive
you know,
that stake deeper.
Even though he's got 10 inlets, God's got access to those inlets, too.
Amen.
And I give in to that a lot easier than Satan.
Yeah. I
was just thinking, you know, about you kids and stuff. You start thinking about relationships and whatnot. You know, if God wants you to be married, that's not something you gotta try and chase after and make it happen. You know, if he sees you getting married or being in a relationship, whatever, he'll make it happen. You know, because there's times you just need to be a brother. You just need to be a sister. You just need to be a friend. You don't need to try to execute your own agenda. You know, it's
come on.
You try to do things in your timing, you'll mess it up.
Yeah.
It's in God's timing. You know, I've seen that in dating and stuff, and that's just something I felt like saying to the kids, you know.
Amen.
So, let's go ahead, Brother Tommy.
Kids and adults, too.
Adults, too. Oh, yeah.
Bless you guys. Glad to be
here
tonight. I just wanted to get up here and share a scripture that my daughter shared with me tonight that I've never seen before. She had it once memorized, and then so I started reading down. This is Hebrews 11. And then it goes down to say, faith is the substance of all things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen,
right?
For by the elders obtain a good report.
Yeah.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Right.
And then it goes on to list, by faith, Abel offered
yes.
God. By faith.
That's right.
And then it occurred to me that, you know, before I allowed that faith within myself to come out, before he put his hand on me, there was no way for me to get a revelation.
No.
There was none. So it goes much deeper than the memorization, and I'm very glad that she had the memorization, but
brought it to your attention.
The word, like, has no bounds, and, like, the depth of how it all intertwines is just so miraculous. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is
talk about faith.
This is a race.
Right.
But we run this race with patience.
Right.
Amen.
My. It's kind of like her. You know, on and on. But you wait. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, we kind of get ahead of ourselves. You know, we say, well, we've done this for others. You know, feelings or whatever.
Right.
Where's mine?
Right.
You know. Patience.
Right.
Patience. Have faith.
Right.
Don't ever let anything.
No.
Not even the time to believe what that will do.
No.
Your faith. Your faith, you just believe. It's,
amen.
It's an action word.
Jesus.
It's a continuation. You know, you don't just, well, I believed it. There's no believed.
Continue.
You believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're not a one who has believed, you're one who believes.
Right.
It's
right.
A continuous, it's a present tense thing. Whatever state you find yourself in, you believe in God.
Right.
You have faith in God. You wait for the outcome, whatever God leads. And he'll tell you. He's not the author of confusion. You won't have to, if you're battling over it, guess what? God hadn't told you yet.
Right.
He hadn't revealed it yet.
Just be patient.
But he always reveals his word by bringing it to pass in your life. So wait for him to bring it to pass. Don't get ahead of God. Don't try to force him. I say, well, you boldly approach the throne of grace. Yeah. But after you boldly approach the throne of grace, have a little patience. Wait upon the Lord. You know, Paul said over and wait upon the Lord. You know, and it's a hard thing. It's almost like it contradicts itself. But patience and faith is just the ongoing thing. And what God reveals, what God brings to pass in your life, that's up to him. You know, you have faith. He do it. You know, we come to God in faith, and then he brings salvation. Your faith in his word brings it to pass in your life. That's the bottom line of everything we go through. Your faith in his word brings it to pass in your life. That's all there is to it. God will not move in your life without patience, without faith. You know, so your faith is very much needed. You have to have faith.
That's right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the very substance of the things hoped for. But He brings the substance. He brings it to pass in your life. And it's a beautiful thing to kind of get your mind around that a little bit. Because it takes all the worry, it takes all Satan's, why hadn't he done it? All the worry, all the fret, all the timetable takes completely out of it. And you just simply believe God. Whether I live to be 100, I'm believing God. Whether I die tomorrow, I'm believing God. Whether I take sick and I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, I believe God. You know, it's just whatever state you find yourself in, be there with content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's beautiful. Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here. I was just thinking, I have a friend at work. She's a great Catholic, and we were welcoming students. We were just talking about God a little bit, and I was telling her about church. She's like, you have church at night, too? She goes about 1 hour a week, and she's a great person. She really is. And I was like, yeah, I get Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'm just so thankful. I really am. This is Goshen to me. This world has lost its mind. For three times during the week, I get to come. And that song says, the only real peace that I have is in you. And I really believe that. You know, Sunday night, Brother Moore, I just want to thank you. I thank the body, the Son of Man, that just cares about our young people. That I thought that was beautiful. You know, the next day, Sister Johanna, she sewed those little things in the kids' backpacks because that's their faith. And I will honor that. I will pray for them. The Son of Man said this is going to be the best school year they'll ever have. I will hold God to that. And I know there will be ups and downs, but I'm going to believe this is going to be the best school year they'll ever have. I'm just so thankful that I serve a living God.
Encourage me.
Yes.
You know, I thank God for this body. You know, I thank God for who I am.
Yes.
You know, knowing who you are is so imperative in this world, because you could be going this way or that way, but, you know, I was reading a book that that we have here about Brother Brown. He talks about being a prisoner. You know, I thank God that I'm a prisoner to this word. This
Amen.
Word holds me.
Yes.
I love how my body protects us. We protect each other.
Right.
You know, by encouraging others to text. You know, I got a text the other day that just brought tears to my eyes. You know, a lot of times you go through this life, one thing I've always learned, you have to have a declarative statement. You always have to say, I'm going to shirk everything off. The only thing I have to do is, like Brother Jesus always say, don't blind me on that.
Right.
I'm not going to let the bit take me this way or take me this way, but the word leads us. And I thank God for this. I have a safe place.
Yes.
I can just thank you. And I just thank this body, because it was beautiful to me. You know,
yeah.
I thank God because He's answered.
Yeah. Amen. Give myself time to think. I remember, you know, another part of what I want to say is just I want to repent. You know, I just want to say sorry if I've ever offended anybody in here, because I know there's times I should have been a better brother, I should have been a better friend, whatever. You know, there's some that aren't here tonight. I'm talking about them too. I'm talking to everybody, anybody that I could have offended. You know, I want to do better. And we talked a lot Sunday morning, Sunday night about relationships and different things. Some people end up divorced, and it's like, you don't have to live in hell. You know, we don't believe in divorce, but you don't have to live in hell either. You know, it's like, I don't care what it looks like. You could be afraid to lose your house. You could be set up to lose anything. You know, we've got people with rentals in here, and we take care of each other. You know, I don't care what it looks like. You know, you have not because you ask not. And I was thinking about Brother Isaiah. You know, if you want to work on your house, let's do it. Let's do it. Ask for help, you know, because we've got resources in here. We're a body. We can do anything we want, you know. Come on. When are we going to do it? I just think no matter how bad it looks, because I don't remember if it was Brother Childers. I heard somebody said it, but it could get so bad we have to run a soup kitchen out of the back, you know. But one way or another, we're going to get out of here. We're going to make it. That's the one job I'm focused on, is getting out of here. You know, I don't care what it looks like. I keep saying that, but I don't. I don't care what it looks like. We're going to make it. So I've been wanting to sing Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here.
Amen.
Kia F.
Thank you.
constant Lord.
First one.
Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Sing in hope. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord.
Just praise Him tonight.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Lord, in your presence, Lord, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Sing You Deserve the Glory, and then we'll get him up.
Please. I'm happy to be here tonight. No place I'd rather be than serving God with each of you. God knew I wouldn't have been able to handle Sunday night. I got to hear about it, and man, it's amazing to see that next generation taking God seriously. You know, from my standpoint in the youth, you know, we would have the practices and you'd see people play around and not take it seriously. I mean, even as a kid, you can.
part of that was why we had to have some older people in there to help keep things going together. You know, you'll be an 18-year-old person in a kids choir, and because the kids were not taking it serious. But to look at this group, that's Moses's. I mean, that's Joshua's group. You know, I kind of feel like I came through the Moses era, and I'm looking at these Joshua kids, and I'm like, man, what? Wow. Like you, I mean, you guys are putting in what it's gonna take to get over. You know, because there's gonna right now. That's why we gotta keep stoking that fire. It's like right now, this is the best time to put something in there that you can do it on your own. Because you know, I've seen a lot of people get carried, and then when they get set down, they can't walk. And I'm seeing you guys run with this thing, and it's that enthusiasm, that momentum, will take you even through a hard time. You'll have so much momentum that you'll go through it, you know. And that's what you can even see with your elders. They just have so much momentum that even when they go through a hard time, they go through it. There's people, I mean, it's just like running. If I ran into the wall, if I don't get a running start, I might not make it through it. But you get a running start, now you hold my mule, I'm going to make it through it, you know. And I'm seeing a lot of people with momentum, and I'm like, I keep pushing. And then on a personal note, we're part of different texts and social medias and all these kind of things. And every now and again, questions will go out, and you know, I'll hear different questions and different things like that. And as I'm going through this thing and learning in life, you know, 99% of the time, a question will get asked, and I'll just have to defer to who will know the answer. And this one time, just recently, a question was asked, and I knew the answer, and I still kept my peace, you know, like I normally do, but I was just sitting there like, oh, well, hold on now. I know the answer to this, but knowing the answer, but you had to know all the other stuff too to even know the answer. And it's like even saying that I don't hear God in the thunder. That statement, to know that statement means that God speaks to you and you can understand it. Right. To know that God speaks to you and understand it means there's got to be a seed on the inside of you. Amen. And if that means a seed's on the inside, that means you had a new birth and you are eternally secure. Right. So when you say, I can hear the voice of God and it's not in thunders, there's other steps to that you had to get to, that you had to see God in yourself. Because if you don't see God in yourself, it still will come across in unknown tongues and in a thunder. But when I see these things, I go, my goodness, we're just blessed. Amen. We're just blessed. You know so much, you don't even know that you know it. And I thought, my goodness, we know how to get over. I know how to handle race issues. I know how to handle them. I don't need a class for it. I know how to handle it. I know how to handle myself. I know how to handle depression. I know how to handle exalt. I know how to handle humility. I know all of it. You can name anything on the list, and I know how to handle it. I know how to handle gender issues. I know how to handle sexuality. Whatever you want to throw on the list, I know how to handle it. And we know how to handle it. Not just me, but we know how to handle it. And I thought, my goodness, it's just to see it just turns me on to see that, because that just means we're not by ourselves. You know, even when Brother Childers was talking about the soup kitchen, and he was making sure we wouldn't be by ourselves. But Brother Childers and Brother Branham didn't have the support that they got right now. They, in essence, had to do a lot of things by themselves. And that's why they were so pushing that you didn't have to do that anymore. Even God himself said, it's not even good that man can dwell alone. Right. Even God didn't want to dwell by himself. But it had to come to a fullness where it could be in a many-member body. Right. So to even say that I'm serving God with other people, that means I'm not by myself. Right. I mean, these are things that, you know, you take for granted that you even know. But just realize that every service, you just get more and more and more and more. And you just don't even realize how much you know. We're just taking it for granted a little bit. But I praise God that I know that I know that I know. I'm not hoping that I know something. And I'm not even, matter of fact, I know so much, I'm not even looking forward to learning something else. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I'll really have it. I'll really go when I get one more, when they explain Paul a little bit more, then I'll really go. When you tell me a little bit more about Rhyannis, then I'll really go. No, I'm really going now. I keep going now because I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised at the end of the service. And I heard something else, and I'm going to sit down. But this thing got me stirred up. We was listening to some singing and stuff, and one of the persons said, you know, I may fall down by the end of the night, but look for me in the morning. Amen. I'm going to get up. I'll be back up. Yeah. And he was saying that, like, he might fall down by before the service is over. He said, but still look for me. I'll get back up. And I thought, that's a positive way to look at it. That lets Satan know no matter what. Even if you think I'm going to fall down, just look for me in the morning. I'm going to still be getting up, and I'm going to still be pushing this thing.
Amen.
And I love what we get here. I love the balance on everything that we get. And I just praise God that there is a place that I can come multiple times a week to get a rest.
Yes.
To get a rest. I can binge watch church now. I got enough of it. I can take it over, and it can consume my life. I can play services while I'm at work. I can play services in the car. I can play music here. I can fellowship with somebody there. I'm surrounded by God. This is just a microcosm of what we're going to get when we get over there, because when you get over there, he's going to be God all in all. This is just the shadow version of it. Right now, I see God all in all, but pretty soon, I still won't be satisfied until I wake in his likeness, and then it's truly God in all. But right now, I'm going to enjoy the benefits of it. I enjoy that I got friends. I got to enjoy that I got other believers that can push this thing forward, that when I get in here, I don't look crazy. When I want to read a scripture, I'm not dumb. When I want to praise God, nobody thinks I'm in a cult. I'm in here with people that love God and serve God with me.
Amen.
To be able to say that, saints, to know that you're serving. We said it's Joshua's group. Joshua's group was one in a million.
Amen.
It was one in a million. Joshua and Caleb, 2 million came out of Egypt. 2 went into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, 2. 1 out of a million. And it's even greater now.
Amen.
It's even greater now. You think about who even wants to serve God? You got adults that don't even believe God is real. And I can see somebody like Lucas come in here and say, hey, I thought it was going to be a bad year, but now I got the Word of God behind me.
Amen.
I got something I can stand on.
Amen.
I know God's real. Matter of fact, I know he's so real, I'm going to hold him to the promises that he gave me.
Amen.
To have those steps, to know that you can talk to God, to know that you can get an answer from God, and to know that you can still depend on God. Come on
Amen.
Now. There's levels to this. I'm looking at it and saying, there's adults that have seen God heal, that have seen God do this, and they get up and deny the Word of God.
Right.
To see a child come in here with just childlike faith. That's still scriptural. That's childlike faith. And I thought, praise God for this understanding. God bless you.
Think about a worship song Jeremiah brought up the other day. And I thought, trying to look for the time to sing it the last couple of weeks. And I thought, well, let's just sing it now. It's real simple. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Just in that key we were in that last song. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Blood.
God, we're thankful for that blood. We're thankful that you took care of our past, present, and future. Oh, there only could be one perfect sacrifice, and that was you yourself, that perfect lamb, and we're thankful that you paid that price. Oh, you made us be able to look into the book and see our own names. You were the one worthy to take the step forward, and we appreciate that. Thank you for the service, Lord, for the testimonies, for answering prayers, for inspiring us, Lord. You're so good to us. You've given us so many blessings. Sometimes we say we're undeserving on one side of the coin, we are, but you've made us worthy, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as we approach the preaching part of the service, we ask that you have your way. Walk the aisles, Lord, answer the questions. Make it clear, make it brighter, stir our hearts up, give us what we need. You know what we need. You turn the pages of the book and have your way. Be with this bride around the world, Lord. Continue to touch those needs, the requests. Lord, you know each and every one before they're even asked. Have your way. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to see you all. It's not why I'm here, but I do love you all. Because you are my true brothers and sisters. Body of Christ, sons and daughters of God, the bride of Jesus Christ. I got a lot of terms I could give you. The elect lady, on and on and on, and people that understand me. People that are on the battlefield with me. You know, we have a saying at work sometimes, you know, when you're in the heat of the battle, we got some people, I said, I want them on the battlefield with me. I want them in the trenches with me. I got some players.
Right.
We just did a people day review, and I sometimes, when they ain't talking about them good enough, I'll say, hey, I want them in the battlefield. So, change that tone. Well, that's just natural. That those people, even as much as I love them, they're going to come and go. But these are people I'm going to spend eternity with.
Amen.
These are the people that's been in the trenches with. And we're going to make it all the way through. So I love y'all. It's good to be here. And remember the announcements, you know, that we have. You know, I like to say them because it's good to keep them before us. I get so busy anymore, I forget things, you know, more than I used to. So, we've got church services coming up with the Kentucky group coming September 7th and 8th. Brother Mendel and Brother Spivey Sr. will be here with us. Looking forward to it. Sister Yap will be here, too, in the fellowship, and we'll have some food after Sunday service, and it'll be a good time. You won't be sad you came. Never sad we come here, right? We always have good services, and that Sunday night there won't be evening service. And then get your clothes ready, get your Sunday best ready. We got Church Picture Sunday, September 22nd, and it's an honor to be identified with this body, so if you can make it, come on, get your picture with us. And so let's remember that, and then we've got a church bonfire October 4th, going to be John and Don's house, and looking forward to that. We always have a good time there as well. And then last thing on the list for now will be our trip to South Carolina. And I think the thing I want to keep pointing out to you, I think those are going, John sent you a text about what you owe, but that's who you need to get with to pay what you owe by October 1st is the goal. So all hearts and minds clear, I'm moving on. We got that taken care of, but it's good to be here. And like everybody else, I love this place. I love what God does for us. He really has blessed us. From the oldest to the youngest, from the youngest to the oldest, God is so good to us. You know, I was studying this week, and I always smile when it happens, because, you know, I'll be the first to say, you know, I've done my share fair reading, but I'll be honest with you, I haven't read all 1,100 books. I just haven't got through them. And matter of fact, a lot of my reading has been emphasized 63 and on, just to be quite honest with you. And I've read a few. There's a few key books back there in those days that we point to. So over the years, though, as you go to church here or just been around the message, you know, people will tell you things Brother Branham said, right? And you know, maybe you're new here. You might check the first or second thing, but eventually you realize, oh, yeah, they're telling you the truth, so you just trust it. So I always love when I come across something in a quote that, oh, I've heard that before, and there it is, you know. And I got something up here. I'll get to that here in a minute, but I just bring that up to mainly say I thank God, you know, just for the solidness that we've had around here. I thank God I've had somebody come before me that could show me the way. I thank God that he gave some prophets and gave some pastors and gave some evangelists and gave some teachers and gave some apostles to show me how this thing works.
Right? Yeah.
Because I was like the man in the book of Acts that I think is dealing with Philip. Do you understand what thou readest? How can I except somebody shows me? And you know, it's been said around here plenty of times, the only way you can become the Son of Man is if you meet the Son of Man. And then you learn that that's really just a Son of Man revealing to you the Son of Man. And then you partake of that and you become a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. But we thank God for that. And then I thank God for my elders and the body. I mean, there's so many different ways over the years we've fellowshipped and God's been good to us. I'm thankful for my Father in the gospel. I really am. I don't play around. But I've learned that. I wasn't so smart of myself. I don't play church. I don't play games. I don't play study. I don't play the testimony. This is serious. And I don't go out on a limb. I don't want it to break. I ain't got nothing to prove. And then, you know, Brother Moore and I was fellowship the other day because I was thinking about this. You know, we've all been influenced by the people we grew up around or the church that we started in, all these things. You know, Brother Branham was a Baptist. That influenced him. He had to drop some of that doctrine. Or he'd guard against certain things because he was influenced by it. If you talk to Pastor Moore, he'd tell you he's apostolic. And he would guard against gifts and things so much that people put so much emphasis on. But I just think, you know, I've grown up around people that wanted to be so deep, that wanted to be the most spiritual, that wanted to have the next new revelation. I'll be honest with you, I guard against that stuff. And it's not even my problem, but I can't stand it. I'm almost unbalanced to the other side because it's garbage to me. You ain't got nothing new under the sun. It's already been preached by Brother Branham. Let's start right there. Brother Branham brought it all. The only thing that God does through us is he might bring a little more information just because it's a little different angle, but every bit of it connects to what the prophet already brought. I don't have a new revelation. I'm no deeper than the prophet. I wasn't even sent to get this thing in order for you. It ain't my job to tell you what Scripture means in that sense. He came and interpreted the word for us because that's what a prophet's supposed to do. I don't want to find some new scripture in here that we've never used before, my prophet never used, just because it sounds good and I'm going to come in here something deep. So I just thank God because I study and I see these things. I want a solid word, Brother James. I don't need to be the deepest. I don't need the glory. Matter of fact, on one side of the coin, if I could give this to you, I'd let you take this job. Now on the other side of the coin, I've been taught well. I'm ready for the journey. I'm ready to do the job. I'm excited about my calling. I'm excited about what I have. But we've been taught solid truth here. All the way across the board. Solid doctrine. Solid mysteries. Solid everyday life. Solid just how to be a man, how to be a woman, how to be honest, how to be a just a good citizen. It's hard to find that anymore. People just treat you fair. Treat you right. You know, we've had a contrast here lately. We recently moved and we got some people installing the floor and we've had people, Brother Dustin's installed my cabinets, and Brother Dustin's was an example of the way to do it versus the person doing the floor. And it was such a contrary way, and it's still going on today. This floor is taking forever. Versus somebody that's just been trained. I'm not taking away his credit, but he learned that here. He learned what it was to work here. He learned what it was to be honest here. He learned what to do, what he's be a man of his word here, and he was. And we want to be that. We're going to fall down. We're going to all have our problems. I ain't trying to make you like me, but we want to be honest people. I want to be able to count on your word. I want to think you're going to be on time. I'm counting on you. I need you. As we've said before, we have a little obligation here. So anyhow, all that said, I just thank God, like you all are testifying. God's been good to us here. We've been blessed. And I thank God for what he's done for me. And that's who I can talk about the best. And so I'm just back in my mail where I'm at. So it's good to be here. So if you have your Bibles, I want to go ahead and stand on this first scripture if you don't mind. I won't do that all the time because I don't want you to think I'm copying Pastor. So I don't like the devil like that, but I do believe sometimes it's just the right thing to honor God. Honor his word. We'll stand for the national anthem. I want to stand for his word every once in a while. It's a privilege to do it. So it's only one little verse, and I'll preach some others later if the Lord wants. But Psalms 119, very familiar verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. That was quick, but I wanted to do that. Felt led to do that. My title tonight is The Center of Life. Now, that might be an interesting title to you, and I almost was going to call it the center of your life, but I didn't want to only make this thing be so individual. It is individual. We're going to talk about that, but this, God is the center of life. He's the giver of life. Anything that consists would not consist without God. And, you know, you say it might be a strange title, but I got this and thought about this a little bit from what Brother Moore preached, because if you're a child of God and you're called of God, you have a purpose. You have a reason. And that reason really is that right there at your core is that you're not just a human being that came the wrong way. You've actually been born again.
Right.
You come from God and you're going back to God.
Right.
Your very nature, your very life. Right. We call it the center of life. I said that almost like a separate from you, but your center of life is who you are.
Yeah.
It's your very life. It's God's own life.
Yeah.
It's the life of God.
Amen.
And you must be born again. We say it all the time. I ain't going to spend so much time there. But if you have the ability to be born again, or if you've been born again, your whole being, your whole purpose, your whole reason for being here is different than just to build a natural life here. Now, there was a brother in the Philippines that we fellowship with a little bit. He posted a quote the other day, and I liked it. And so I just want to read it to you, because God, Brother Branham said this so many different ways. This is from Questions and Answers, 1964. He said, see, that's what makes a man a new person. It's because he's born again, reborn. His first birth brings him a natural man on earth. His second birth brings him a spiritual man of heaven. See, it changes him, his soul. You know, sometimes people are afraid to use that term soul. We'll use nature to lighten it up on people sometimes, but it's the soul is what gets changed, just so you know. There's not four rims. There's not a nature on the soul. There's three rims, and that soul changes. Not his outward conscious, his outward being, his senses. He still feels and smells and tastes and hears. But his inward parts, his desires, what motivates him, has been changed to God.
Amen.
Now, Brother Moore was making that point a little bit Sunday, in case you missed it. I ain't bringing anything new to you. I already told you that tonight. But when you're born again, you change. You really become a new person. What motivates you change. What centers you changes. What you come back to for direction changes. Your purpose in life and what you want to be changes. What you care about changes. You change all together. Now, as we always say, people have put their rules on what that means, and they try to manufacture. It's not a manufactured thing. It's not to make you like me and me like you. It's to make you the way God wants you to be. But the thing is, you have changed on the core. You've changed at the root. You've changed at the center of who you are. What you want to do, who you're going to be, has changed. You can't stop it if it's a real new birth. It's like that story of the chicken and the eagle, Brother James. As long as that eagle thought he was a chicken, all he did was stay on the ground. But the moment he heard the cry of his mother and realized he could fly, it changed what he was about. He was no longer trying to search for food on the ground and eating food he knew didn't taste good. He's like, wait a minute, I can actually fly. And he behaved like it. He no longer spent his time on the ground. He said, I'm flying high. I'm going to where I belong. I'm going to go about this different. I'm a different bird than those chickens. I really was an eagle all the time. Oh, that gets me excited.
In reality, that change that happens to you is just really bringing the real you to manifestation. You were always an eagle. You always were part of God. You always come from God. All that happens, you came the wrong way, so God had to give you a new birth. But he put a little piece of him, even at your natural birth, to always represent that eternal life. And all that happens, that eternal life starts manifesting in your life.
Right?
And you know you will change, you'll mature in this thing. It's a process. Not everything about you changes in one day just because you heard the message. The first day, you're still trying to figure out if you even got a new birth. And as we say so many times here around here, really what happens is it takes a little while that you've already changed and doing some things differently. Wait a minute. I am doing something different. I am going to church when I used not to go to church. I am testifying when I never thought in my life I would testify. I am trying to get to church a little earlier when I used to not even know what church was. And then you realize, wait a minute, this is different. And it happened in some ways. You didn't even manufacture it. Amen. It just started coming out of you automatically because it's who you are.
Amen.
But what will happen is you mature in this thing because you're a changed believer. Your cause has changed. What motivates you has changed. What you want to be has changed. And you'll end up starting to make decisions around your life all for the purpose of what you're here to do.
Amen.
Because you recognize I'm not here just to live this human life and to fulfill the lust of my flesh and please my flesh. I'm actually here for a reason, called by God. I must be about my Father's business. Every one of us has to come to that reality. And that's an individual reality for you. I must be about my Father's business. That's got to happen to you just like it happened to Jesus, like it happened to James, like it happened to Pastor, like it happened to Don Desmond. You need that in your own life.
Amen.
Lord, what do you want from me? What's my purpose here? Because let me tell you this. I know it's bigger than an individual. We're going to talk about a body here in a little bit. But God has not called one individual or one church age or one bride body or anywhere down in time for it to go out void.
Right.
Every person that is a part of God is here for a reason and for a purpose. The Bible says you're a member of the body in particular. You have a job to do. You have a calling to fulfill. And every one of us, I'm not telling you to stress and strain to try to figure out it'll happen. God's gifts always find their places. It'll happen. It'll just happen kind of naturally. But you'll find it. And it'll take place in your life. And what happens, you'll want to give to it because that's the very cause. You'll live around the church. You won't move because that's what you love. It's who you are. I've said it before, my way of expression, this thing will eat you up on the inside. It's like fire shut up in your bones. You can't live without it. It's your very core. It's your very source. You want to be around this thing. It's got to be that real or it won't last. That's not legalism there. That's just the facts of life. You ain't born again and you ain't got God first in your life and you can't live without this thing. You're going to leave. Because there'll be something that'll be more important to you. It's just the way it is. Let me throw away the spiritual for a minute. Let me go to the natural. In the natural, I have things that rank over other things. And I promise you, number 1, 2, and 3 get more attention than number 5, 6, and 7. They do.
Amen.
At work, I got priorities. 1, 2, and 3 gets more attention than 5, 6, 7.
Amen.
The purpose, the call, it's just what you love, what you want to honor. You do what you want to do.
Amen.
But what I love about this is a nature change. You can't even make yourself be this altogether. God's got to change you. God's got to convict you. God's got to change that nature. And if he does, then things will just start rolling with every heartbeat.
Amen.
But you know, the point is, God will remind us sometimes, hey, this life ain't about you. This ain't about it, it's all your wants. This ain't just, as God was saying, this isn't just so you can come down here and get married and enjoy marriage. And marriage is a beautiful thing, by the way. And God uses it too. But the point being is, if you need to get married, God, you'll get married. You know, Brother Moore's always been against matchmaking, right? And rightfully so. Because, and you know, you can take that matchmaking of boyfriend and girlfriend and you can apply it to so many things in life. Because what I mean is, we can try to force God.
Right.
God, I want this. God, I want this. Hey, let me tell you, 20 years ago, I was trying to tell God I want to preach this way.
use me this way. I want to be like so-and-so. And we'll try to push God. And he's not going to be pushed. You know, sometimes it's like decisions we make. We know we get direction from God. And the manifestation of it, once you start falling, it just happens. Things start clicking into place. The job he told you to go after, you get. Or the place he told you to move to, just the things happen, right? Because they happen because that's what God knows is going to happen. That's what he wants to happen. You can try to push him any which way you want. And he done once, it's like, I can laugh, he's laughing at you. Like, good little try. But haven't I been so long with you that you know it's not what you want anyhow. You need to give unto what I want. Because that's how this thing works. God's plan is bigger than my individual little core wants and things I want in my life. Yes, I get so many blessings secondarily to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All these other things will be added to you. They happen all the time. Don't worry about that. God will take care of you. God's so gracious to us. He ain't just, this ain't hard in that sense. He asks you to do a little bit of things. Yeah, it's going to cost you. But, oh my Lord, how many times did he bless you and give you excess and give you extra and give you more than you need? We all can get up and testify to that tonight. But I'm going to tell you, we'll matchmaker, we'll try to push God. Just give up. Let go. Let God have his way. What do you want, God? Because my purpose ain't about this human life. My purpose is here to do thy will, O God. Not my will, but thine be done. That's how this thing works. Now, I want to read another scripture here. You get the point. But this thing does, before I get that scripture, And I people honed in on this Sunday night because they said it too. I took a note about it too, is your direction, your decision, where you're trying to go in life. You center it around that call. You center it around what God wants you to do. That's the way of a real believer. Now, we're all going to fall on our face and run sometimes and do all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, a real desire of a believer is, Lord, what do you want? I must be about my Father's business. I want to live where you want me to live. I want to work where you want me to work. I want to do the things you've asked me to do. You say, you think that's funny. We just get jobs where we can. People, I've seen God. I've been to church long enough. I've seen God put people in jobs they didn't even always want. I'm just going to be honest with you. Didn't pay as much money as they wanted to get paid. Wasn't as clean as they wished it was going to be. But I've seen my examples right here say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. So that my point being is it isn't always just because we want a retirement. That's the point Brother Moore is making. Oh, because we want this. It's what God wants. Matthew, the 16th chapter. And we're going to read that's why it's wrong. I'm 17. I'm like, that doesn't look right to me. I'm going to go back to 16. We're going to look at verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus showed unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. So, in other words, he was sharing with his disciples what was going to happen. And Jesus, as Brother Moore read Sunday, knew that was his purpose, what his cause was. Now listen to this. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now think about that. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're putting the natural life and the natural things of life and the things you want on the natural side ahead of what God has called me to do and what the entire purpose of God is.
And a matter of fact, Peter, if I don't go pay the price and be killed, you can't even make it to heaven. You don't even realize what you're doing. Get behind me, Satan. Now, that was one of the quotes I found where we've always said it's not the person, it's the spirit. Brother Brandon was saying it wasn't altogether Peter, it was the spirit on Peter that he was calling Satan. And I've heard that over the years, and I read right where Brother Branham said it this week, so I was enjoying that. But get thee behind me, Satan. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny the natural things and do what I've called him to do. Follow me. Follow the Word. You follow the Word, you follow Christ. Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. We know how that works. Now here, listen to this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? All the natural glory, all the natural riches, all the natural popularity, and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. Now that works there ain't altogether about thou shalt not and thou shalt. Thou shalt. That's about following the Word of God for your day in its hour and what God's called you to do. Now, I've got a little bit to say about this, but I want to read you this interesting quote from Brother Branham. Brother Branham says, now, this is a very important scripture I just read. And he's talking to some kids. He said, let's all read it together. What do you say? Everybody, little children, all together now, Brother Branham, congregation, read the following scripture. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, boys and girls, and I know the older ones will enjoy this just the same as the children will, but this scripture is so important. Some scriptures are so important that God puts it in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this one is so important till he put it 6 times in the Gospel. 6 times this came from his own lips, Jesus. And then he goes over and says, now Mark, we'll turn over there because I'm going to read, you know, I could read Mark 8 and 33 and 34. I'll read some there. And I want you to notice here again with this little continuation where Jesus spoke. And remember, he put it 6 times in the gospel so it would be sure. Two is a witness, but he put it 3 times that so it would be sure that you remember it. Now, I hesitate to bring that quote because people can so misinterpret that and put so much law on that and so many things, but you guys know we're not that way. And I'm not making that scripture more important than Revelation 10. Don't get me wrong. All Brother Branham was trying to point out to people there is if you don't follow God, if you ain't been born again, if you haven't found your cause, if you don't lay down your life and follow Christ, you're not His. You got to do that. Every one of us have to do that. And it ain't some human natural sacrifice that makes you worthy. It's that new birth I'm talking about. And from that, you find your cause and you follow Christ. And what God wants you to do is more important than these natural things. That's the emphasis that Jesus was saying. Peter, get behind me. You're focused on natural things. You're focused on things that are temporal, things that won't even last. But we got to be focused on eternal things. Amen. Only what you do for Christ will last. I'm not here this morning trying to make you like me or this evening or make you like Don Deskin with that scripture. But I am trying to make the point that Brother Moore made Sunday. We all have a cause. Amen. You will be changed. What God wants is more important than what the world wants. Amen. Brother Moore says it all the time and it strikes me every time. No matter how much I try to be good, it strikes me. Why are you worried about fitting in this world? It's on its way out. It's gone. Popularity here, at best, is not that much longer. This world's falling apart. The signs around us tell us that trying to fit in here and build a kingdom here is not going to last. But loving God, seeking God, putting God first, letting that be your purpose, That's what's going to last, Brother Moore. And that's what God wants out of each and every one of us, Brother Dustin. That's the point, really, Brother Brown was making. Hey, he said it 6 times to drive it home. You got to follow me. Lay down your natural life and come and follow me.
Amen.
And sometimes all God wants to see is that you're willing to do it. I love that. I always love Abraham's story. Amen. Hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you this son over here. And you had to wait 25 years to get him.
Right.
And it took so many years of faith to get that thing, and patience, and all the... We know the story. He had to preach to Sarah. And he got
Amen.
It. And I think he was 13 years old, maybe. I don't forget how old he was, but he said, take him up and sacrifice him. Think about it. The thing he waited for 25 years. The thing he had to preach over and over to Sarah about.
Right.
God turned around and said, take him up on the hill and sacrifice him. Kill him.
Right.
That's hard
oh, yeah.
on the flesh.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But the father of faith, Abraham,
yeah.
and we're the royal faith seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
That's who we are. We're going to do it, people. You know, that's why like sometimes the way we preach it sounds like, oh, I got to figure out how to work this out. This is going to come out of you automatically because
yeah.
you've been born again and your nature's changed. I'm just trying to show you how it works.
Amen.
I'm trying to remind you who you are. Reminding you why you're really here.
Yeah.
Every believer needs that. You know why? Because we have 10 inlets.
Right.
And we get caught up in this world sometime. We get caught up in a job sometime. We get caught up in making a life here sometime.
Yeah.
All God's trying to remind you, hey, remember you're born again.
Yeah.
Remember what that nature on the inside of you is.
Yeah.
Remember you come from me and I'm bringing you back to me.
Yeah.
Remember why you're really here.
Yeah.
And it only takes a believer a little bit to hear that. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Shake ourselves off a little bit. I know why I'm here. I know what my real purpose is.
Yeah.
Not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
That's how this thing works.
Amen.
And old Abraham, he walked him up. And you know the story. God said, now I know. That you really mean this. I'm paraphrasing. That you really are going to serve me. That you really do have faith. And you really do believe. Because before Abraham even got up that hill, he said, he's going to provide a sacrifice. Abraham just knew, had a revelation. He reminded, wait a minute, God's going to make a way when there don't appear to be a way. God's going to make a way. See, that's what I love about this cause. Any cause, the bride, God's always made a way. Nothing's going to stop God's plan. Nothing's going to stop His word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word will ever fail. God's purpose, God's cause, God's reason, God's word, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same thing. Every bit of it will happen exactly as God saw it. Because
right?
it's what He wants to happen, and He will make sure it happens.
Amen.
And by His foreknowledge, He already knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
And He knows how to put a car in front of you if He needs to.
Right.
Put a stoplight before you if He needs to.
Right.
Oh, I love a God like that, Brother James.
Amen.
Oh, that woman at the well, her condition got her to that place.
Yeah.
It all worked for the good.
Yeah.
To let her even meet Jesus. And I always like to remind the devil, he couldn't even touch me and kill me. And his guns were blaring for me. But he couldn't even get close to me. Because God had an appointment in my life. God had a purpose in my life. God had a cause in my life. And the devil, no matter how many guns he tried to have at me, he couldn't stop me from getting here. He couldn't stop this service tonight. He couldn't stop the very purpose of God. God's got it all covered.
Amen.
Oh, Moses went right underneath the nose of Pharaoh.
Yes,
think about it. Right underneath the nose of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
So, we always say it, but that gets me excited. Hey, Pharaoh, you're trying to kill this God. I'm going to put him right underneath you. God will make a way when there seems to be no way.
Amen.
Oh, trust in the Lord God with all your heart.
Amen.
He will guide your path.
Yeah,
He'll take care of you.
Yeah.
He'll provide your needs. He'll give you strength. He'll give you the preaching he needs. Oh, he gives everything he needs. What did God do? He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave some prophets, some apostles. God's always gave everything we need to get the job done, to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our cause. All the way to the point that he told Abraham, now I know. Out of the blue, there's a ram in the bush. And we're going to call this place Jehovah Jireh. The God shall provide for himself a sacrifice. Oh, this thing, God gave you the new birth. God gave you a new soul. God's given you the preaching. God supplied all your needs. You can't help but fulfill this cause. Amen. I'm just trying to remind you, don't forget this is what you're called for.
Amen.
Shake it off, David.
Amen.
Restore the joy of my salvation.
Amen.
Ah, you're my child. You're the apple of my heart. You're a man after my own heart. You're who I've called to live in this day and hour for such a time as this.
Amen.
This ain't about saving your own life and putting emphasis in this world. Who cares what the world thinks? Who cares what they judge us over? Who cares what they make us fun of us over? God, what do you want in my life? I'm here to get the job done. I know it's time to get out of here, and I'm ready to do what it takes. That's why it happens to somebody that's had the center change, the core change, the root change, the cause, the purpose, what motivates them change. A believer that happens in your life. When you see it, you love it. You first see it right here. Then we get excited about watching other people. We get excited about kids getting up here. Somebody new getting up here. Somebody new changing. Because we see it. So I've been there. I've been the one that needed the ram in the bush. I've been the one afraid to get up. I've been the one that's been shy. I've been the one with the flesh problems. I've been the one that didn't know how to sing a note. I've been the one that was embarrassed to raise my hand. I've been the one that let the devil talk to me too much. I've been the one that's had this problem. But every single time, God has provided a sacrifice, made a way. How could I not do what he's called me to do? And I'm ordained to do it. Jeremiah, before you came out of your mother's womb, I already ordained thee to be a prophet. I'll put my words in your mouth. Don't even worry about it. I got it covered.
Amen.
Oh, that excited every one of them. God had this thing covered before. He prophesied about it and then made sure it happened up here. He said, John, let me show you what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. And this is before we was even out of the first church age, Brother Isaiah. Because it was in 90 AD he was on there. The first church age going on. The second age hadn't happened yet. The third age. God said, John, let me show you what's going to happen. And God's so great. It happened exactly the way he prophesied.
Right.
Happened exactly the way John wrote it. He put it in there in symbols, and now we can look back and say, what a mighty God.
Right.
Sent a lion, sent an ox, sent a man, sent an eagle, sent a prophet, sent messengers, sent a sacrificial spirit, and he took care of everything.
Amen.
And at every age, they all had a cause, they all had a purpose, their life was changed.
Yeah.
And at once, that coin, they couldn't help but do it.
Amen.
Ordained, Brother Moore. On the other hand, they were like you and I. That's going to cost. I thought they were like Jesus. Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But something on the inside of Jesus. Something on the inside of you. Something on the inside of Arenas. Something on the inside of those group of people that follow Columbus. Someone inside said, if I have 100 lives, I'm going to give them all. Because I love God. And I'm here to serve God. I'm here to do my purpose. And think about this people. They didn't fully even know and understand what they were there for and what they were doing. But here we are in an age where the entire book's been open.
Amen.
Only two times, kind of like this. Two times the Son of Man's been there.
Right.
Jesus the groom and Mrs. Jesus the bride.
Yeah.
Jesus knew who he was and what was going on and why all the things were happening.
Amen.
And we know what's going on and all the things that happened.
Amen.
They went down hoping.
Right.
You and I are sitting here raising hands, rejoicing tonight, talking so boldly, talking so confidently, because we know God's got this thing covered, Brother Deskins. My very nature's been changed. My cause, what motivates me, has been changed. And, you know, we get up here and we talk about the flesh, and there's a side that doesn't even want to do any of it. But on the other side, this is the only thing I can do. This is what I want to do. I wanted it. Now let me talk about the soul for a minute, because I told you I've been tired and didn't want to come to church. Now let me talk about the soul. I wanted to come to church tonight. I wanted to raise my hand tonight. There's no other place I'd rather be. I'd rather lose all sleep for this thing. I can't wait to get to South Carolina. I can't wait to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I can't wait to get to the bonfire. I can't wait. Because this is all I'm about. That's what happens to a true nature change person. It'll happen automatically. Yes, you'll have flesh and it's going to be contrary. The Bible says it lusts against the soul. It lusts against God the Spirit, which is your soul.
Right.
But you got something on the inside greater. Who you really are. Your purpose, your cause, your decisions. All geared towards that thing. That's how it works each and every time. You know, I had in my notes here Hebrews 11, Brother Tommy. But since you referenced it, I'm just going to paraphrase it now. But think about all those people. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses' parents. By faith, Rebecca. By faith, Joseph. By faith, I'm getting a couple of them wrong now, but it goes through a long list there. And that's how it works. They had a revelation. That's the only way it's going to work. God gives you a clearance, then you get a revelation, you get a new birth, and that's how your cause changes, that's what your motivation changes. The only thing going to cause you to even go towards that purpose is the revelation of God that you have. Because works is faith expressed. And every one of them had a cause.
Right.
By faith, Noah, when it never rained the way that God told him it was going to rain. In a scientific age, Brother James, Brother Bram said, very scientific. What do you mean it's going to rain? And you're going to build a wood boat? And we're sending rockets up in the air? Are you silly? Are you crazy? But by faith, by understanding, Noah had a cause. He had a purpose. He says, despite what the world says, we're going to measure it just the way he told me. We're going to build the way he told me. We're going to preach 120 years. And think about it. He had to watch all the people reject him, pretty much. Because only 8 souls were saved. I don't know how to explain all the people that died before then. Who knows? But God knows that. But by the time we got to the ark, only 8 souls saved, Brother Moore. But Noah said, all right, this ain't about popularity. This ain't about fitting in with the world. It would have been a lot easier. Now, I always say it, we read the Old Testament stories, and we almost think they're just so supernatural, so easy on Noah, because Noah, God told him everything. All God did to Noah is what God does to you. Gave him a revelation.
Right.
Spoke to him face to face. Noah had flesh just like you had flesh. He had to fight popularity just like you had to fight popularity. He had to fight the world's criticism just like you had to fight the world's criticism. And he stood there and said, but this is what God told me to do. This is what I was sitting here to do. And Noah might have had all kinds of other issues. And I ain't glorifying that. But that didn't matter. Noah was about the cause. One job. And that's why Brother Moore always talks about those 3 level of protection. He can even ride with you in that first level. You might even have an issue, and he'll be long-suffering towards you. He'll guard for you. He'll protect for you. But we only have one purpose here. You start crossing that line in number 2 or number 3, you got a different answer for you. Because now you're taking the cause of why we're here, and you're making it look silly, and you're making a bad name for it, and you're making a mockery out of it. And God will not be mocked. He'll make you look silly. And he don't play. And so that's the way Noah took it serious. Moses took his job serious. Daniel took his job serious. Jesus took his job serious. And you know what? The bride is taking her job serious, and we will keep taking the job serious. But the minute God sees one of us act like it doesn't matter, what God says is important, we don't think it's important. I'm just going to do anything I want to do. That's when you're going to see God get a little upset. And it has nothing to do with law. This ain't legalism at all. This ain't even really a thou shalt and thou shalt not. You're way beyond that. That's little stuff. God's looking at it like, wait a minute. My very purpose, my very cause, what I'm trying to fulfill, the word that I stand on, the word that I am, the word and I are the same thing. You're making a mockery out of it. You're trying to prevent it. I ain't playing with you on that. That's why the only evidence of sending you to hell is unbelief. You take his word and don't believe it. That's the only thing that'll keep you out of heaven. He's got grace for everything else. But every one of them in Hebrews 11, they were serious. Had a battle themselves, no doubt. I mean, we all know the story of David quite well. He had moments up on a mountain, it felt like. Moments it felt like it was down in the valley. But every time, thy word I've hid in my heart. I think you or somebody was testifying this morning, it's what helps you push, it's what helps you overcome. You come back to it, you can't give up. The more you get of this, the stronger that'll be. You were saying it, James, because you know, if you take this thing lightly, you have nothing to stand on when you go through your first trial. But if you've invested in this thing, you go through something, you got something you stand a hold on. Then as we always say, you get through the first thing, oh my, the time you get to the second thing that the devil fights you on, you're a little stronger. Because you've already came through the first thing. Like, wait a minute, I've been here before. We're going to do this again. I know what to do. I'm going to put the word on it. You might, as the brother said, we both were listening the other day, I might fall tonight. But you'll see me in the morning. I'll be right here. Because this is my very purpose. This is what drives me. That's the thing about this thing. I'm not preaching in a way like I ain't got problems. I got all kinds of problems. But despite my problems, the first thing in the life is the Lord Himself and the purpose that He calls all of us for. Oh, on one side of the coin, not everybody's called to be a preacher. That's the calling I have. Brother James has, Pastor Moore has, right? You don't have to do that. And that way we got different callings. On the other side, we're all called to be part of that body. We're all called. That's Romans 8 says it, right? Those before nobody predestinated, those he predestinated, he called. Those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he already glorified. That's all of us. Every one of us up there. You're called. And you got to give that calling just like everybody else has had to give to that calling. I got two more points I want to make. And we'll never be able to do them justice, but I want to at least try to say a few things about them. Revelation is the 10th chapter. I go here. Brother Moore went here Sunday. And I'm just going to make a point about it. I talk about the center of life, right? And really what I'm trying to mean by that, there's a core purpose in all of this. There's a core life. There's a core thing what we're about. And it really all revolves around God. And I said that, you know, that's in your own individual life, right? Your soul, who you are is God. But in every age, it was about God. Paul did God's work. Irenaeus did God's work. Martin did God's work. And here we are, Mrs. Jesus Christ tonight, doing the cause and the purpose of God. But I thought about Revelation 10 when we said the center of it, because Brother Chills used to always say that's the core chapter.
Yeah.
And the reason why we can say that, and now, I don't have to read Revelation 10. Matter of fact, I even know that. I don't want to stay in it too long. I'm looking at quotes like that, but to even be able to look at scriptures that make it a body is because of what happened in Revelation 10.
Right.
To even be able to call it a son of man is because of what happened in Revelation 10. Yeah. To even understand an open book is because of what happened in Revelation 10. Yeah. To be able to preach tonight the way I'm preaching is because of what happened in Revelation 10.
Amen.
That's the core, that's the centerpiece of what happened in our day and its hour. That open book.
Amen.
The mystery's finished.
Amen.
Ephesians 1 and 9, they've got all things in one happened because He came down.
Amen.
That's the centerpiece right there. That's our purpose, truthfully. It all goes off from there, is all I'm saying. Because that ties to Thessalonians 4. Only one thing on our plate. Comes out of that book right there. The Lord descended here is the same thing as descended in Thessalonians 4. And for such a time as this, little bride, we are placed on this earth. A group of believers to understand the book from Genesis to Revelation. To know the end from the beginning. To look around and say it's bigger than even these four walls. It's bigger than who's alive today. It's a whole 2,000-year bride body that's every bit received headship for such a time as this.
Amen.
We're here today.
Amen.
And I have a call, Brother Moore.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets me excited. And when you know what your cause is, that's where you put your focus. That's where you put your emphasis. And that's why we talk like nobody else talks.
Right.
It's why we act like nobody else acts.
Right.
When people are questioning why you act the way you act or talk the way you talk, it's just because they don't understand your cause. They don't understand your purpose. They haven't sat in the little room where you sat. They didn't see the revelation you got. And that's the way it even works in your own individual life. He who received the name is the only one who knows the name. Because it was a personal revelation to you. But it's the same thing up here. Not everybody gets this. Not everybody in this world understands what we understand. But little bride, we are alive and we're not going to hinder them. Your decision won't hinder him. I don't care if you try to run from your calls every day. It ain't going to hinder this thing. There's a purpose here, and God's never let any of his causes stop. And this bride has received an open book. She ate that book in 63. We've been prophesying ever since. We've been manifesting the Son of Man ever since. We've been talking about the rapture ever since.
Amen.
In time, and then slowly but surely, we've been dropping all the other things from her. Dropping, laying down every weight that so easily besets you. You know, I'm a much more down the road man now, because people used to hear me say that and say, oh, there he goes, I'm going to live this way. None of that matters. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm talking about just, I'm laying down trees and dogs, doing his will. I'm talking about doing what God wants me to do. I'm talking about focusing on the real purpose.
Amen.
If he wants me to keep all 10 commandments, I'm going to keep all 10 commandments.
Amen.
If he wants me to break two of them, I'm going to break two of them. I don't know, but it's neither or, either or. But it's about doing what God wants us to do.
Amen.
It's about taking the revelation of the hour that we have and acting like we have it and using it the way God wants it used. Somebody's got to understand who foolish virgins are.
Amen.
Not everybody can talk like that. We've said this before. Go out there and say, people got to deal with me. How they deal with me is how they deal with God.
Right.
That takes a revelation.
Amen.
But I know that's to be true in my life.
Yes.
And I take that authority, not because I'm somebody, because God gave that to me. He revealed that to me.
Amen.
And the hour I'm lived in, we understand that.
Amen.
And God wants me to use that.
Right.
He foresaw it, Brother Destin.
Yeah.
He wants somebody to be able to forgive.
Yeah.
He wants somebody to be able to give grace and truth.
Amen.
He wants somebody to act like the book's been open.
Yeah.
And we are. But my point is, for this cause, we're here. And we've been doing this for quite a while. And the thing is God has kept trying to say, lay that weight down, let that baggage go, and focus on the real cause. And I'm so excited where I am today.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, today it feels like I have nothing left to drop because I've come so far.
Yeah.
I stand here today and I'm feeling like, man, God has brought me so far. I've dropped so much. I can see my only purpose. I can see there's only one thing on our plate. I can see the bride standing on her feet. I know they have received headship just like we're one body. We're all got this thing together. I see so many things I used to not see.
Amen.
I've come as far as I could come up to now.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, hey, what else? I don't know if there's anything left to drop. Why are we leaving here, Lord?
Right.
But you know, if I'm here a little bit longer, I'll drop some other things. He'll show it and make it a little brighter. But that's our job for such a time as this, just drop it. And in the Bible, there's a story of Esther. And that says, for such a time as this. And you know what? She didn't put on all the other stuff, all the other, because people were trying to marry the king. And they brought multiple women to marry the king. And they brought all this extra stuff that they could put on. And all the other ladies put all it on. And Esther says, I'm going as I am. She didn't need all the extra weight, Brother Moore. I'm listening to the prophet. And the prophet dressed her up. The prophet introduced her to Eliezer, got her and said, here's Isaac, Rebecca. And she said, I got a job to do. Well, story goes on, and the king puts out a decree to really kill all the Jews. Here comes old Mordecai. Say, hey, you got work to do. But don't you know, Mordecai? That I'm just like you, like anybody goes in there, if he don't throw out a scepter, I'm dead as good as you do. And Mordecai's like, you think you're going to escape? You're a Jew too. All these Jews he wants to kill, you think he's going to let you live? And then Mordecai tries to say, now we're going to see what you're really about.
Yeah.
We're going to see if you're called for such a time as this.
Right.
We're going to see if you really are the one. Because if you're not, God, that means God's going to bring somebody else up.
Yeah.
See, that's what I mean. God will never let his purpose fall down, people. He'll raise up a rock. If he has to. You know, sometimes we come in here and it's true, God needs us because he uses man, he uses flesh. He does. He wants man. On the other side of the coin, don't think you're so big that God can't raise up a rock and do everything he needs to do.
Amen.
But God's going to get it done. But old Esther said, okay, yeah, I'm the one. And she went in. She said, pray for me. You know, that's just another example of they were just like us, y'all. They had to battle themselves just like we did. Esther, no doubt, even all the way walking there, was like, is he going to kill me? But she had a purpose. She had a cause. And she's like, for such a time as this, I was placed on this earth. And little bride, we can stand proudly. Oh, we're going to do it, Mordecai. Oh, I know you're in the grave, Mordecai, now, but there's a bride standing on her feet. There's a living group that won't hinder, Brother Moore. We're going to do our job. And we've been doing our job. And somebody's going to stand with what Brother Brandon brought. Somebody's going to stand with what Brother Childers brought. Somebody's going to stand with what Jesus brought. And we're going to do it. Despite what the world talks about us. Despite how they want to squeeze us or whatever we want to call it. I don't care what they do to me, Brother James. Somebody's going to stand for this, and this bride will do it. Because at such a time as this, we're called. And my last point I want to make, because I know you all were excited. You probably wanted me to come and preach about the cusp tonight. Because we all want to get out of here. But I'm going to bring it in a little bit for you. But God told me what I had to preach tonight. Because I'm like, yeah, I'd love to talk about the cusp and getting out of here, right? But we are at a cusp. You know, talk about it for such a time as we know it. Brother Moore talked about Sunday.
signs all around us. Russia in place, Benjamin Netanyahu in place. You know, whether it's a woman president or not, Catholic Church is in place. It don't matter. The world's in a condition. It's ready. We're on the cusp. But here we are, little bride. We're going to stand. We've been standing. We're going to stand. And I say that boldly because I believe by revelation. I don't even know how to make all this happen. I don't even know how to change somebody's body. But like every other revelation, Brother Warren, he'll give us everything we need. That purpose will be fulfilled. And I'm excited about it. But the thing I thought about this week, and what I really want to make a point about this cusp, is really when you get to a cusp, things that used to matter to you don't matter anymore. You know, when I went from one place of appointment to another, while I'm exiting there for a long time, I keep trying to pass on things, there comes a point. I'm done. I don't even know if I'm coming to work tomorrow. It really does. What I used to worry about, I'm on a cusp, I'm on a change, I don't care about it anymore. They tell me, you know, we've seen it, somebody's dying, all the things they used to worry about, all the money they try to gain, all the riches. When they get to that cusp of the change of life, none of that matters. We all could say these things. Your wife's having a baby and you're in that room, all the things you worried about up to then, getting the room ready and all the other things. When it comes to that woman that's near death trying to birth that baby, and that baby's trying to come out and you're wanting it to breathe, all those other things don't matter. You ain't even worried about who's around you. You ain't worried about mom, you ain't worried about dad, you're not worried about brother, sister, you're not even worried about the siblings before them. You're focused on one thing, the cusp, the change is getting ready to happen, a baby's getting ready to come forth. All those other things around you don't matter so much. We got to give example after example. But we're on a cusp.
Yes, we are.
And the things that used to matter don't matter so much. And once again, that ain't talking about how I'm living. I'm talking about I ain't worried about the world. I ain't trying to fit in with this world. I ain't trying to build a kingdom in this world. Now, yes, will I plant my potatoes? Sure, I will. You know we teach that. But I'm here. This world's lost its hope. If he came tomorrow, I'm rejoicing. If I lose it all tomorrow, I'm rejoicing. If I'm in a chair tomorrow, I'm rejoicing. This too will pass. This is only temporal. Set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. And yes, we're human. I know because I can feel it. You know, when you're young, you got some things you want to experience. That's a natural feeling, y'all. Don't let the devil condemn you over that. That's a natural feeling. But by revelation, you know, this thing is losing its hold. It's losing its hold. And that's what a cuss brings on. And Brother Moore keeps saying, and he just does. I hear it in so many services. Don't worry about this world.
Right.
Don't worry about fitting in this world. And what's so nice about that's not a code of rules. It's just this ain't our focus.
Right.
Give your life to God. Yeah. Give your life to the cause. And you know what that means for you. And this whole 2,000-year-old bright body, she's already standing on her feet. But what we're getting ready to do, Brother Moore, is we're going to put some flesh around him. That dust is going to come back on him. The life is going to come back into those that fleshly body. And then our body is going to be changed. That's what I'm really about, people. Let everything we do be done to that glory, really. Not my will, but thine be done. You say, why'd you call it the center? I'm just trying to say everything revolves around what your number one is. Everything revolves around about who you are. If you've been changed, it can't help but it's God. Because that's who your nature is. That's who your life is. If you're Don Dillinger, you'd make guns all the time because that's what you love. But because you've been changed in your God life, that's what you're about. And it comes out of you kind of naturally. You eat on this word, the word comes out of you. You eat on this word, you play it life, it just comes out of you. And then you're fulfilling the scripture and fulfilling your purpose every day of your life, not even realizing sometimes. Sometimes you go to work and you don't have to tell them you're Christian, you just live. And with every heartbeat, this thing just comes out. I love how it works that way. Because I've been at a time where I thought I had to make it work. Condemn myself because I wasn't doing it good enough. And pushing it. I was 16 in high school and they had prayer day. And I told you a story before. I didn't make it in time to pray with them in the morning. I felt so guilty like I wasn't being the example. I thought I had to tell everybody I love God. And I look now and I thought, how silly was that? And then I really look back and I'm thinking, I'm the one that's been manifesting God to all these people. They ain't cared about God all these days. They're the ones made fun of me. Because I didn't go to their parties, and I wasn't doing the things they were doing. And just because they prayed one day, I let that sorry devil pray
How about let it change your life?
Amen.
How about not go to the party? How about not fit in? How about now? I can say that now. But you get the point. We put so many things out of order when it's all in order. God knows what He's doing. Appreciate you, love you. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore.
What you think you want, in spite of what you think is important, in spite of what you try to do, this word changes you. And I don't know, but for me, it makes me mad sometimes, because I want to do what I want to do. And when I look at my life and I say, well, I want to do this, and God says, you're going to do this, then I'm like, I don't know, y'all may not get mad. I might just be one of those renegade saints. I do get mad sometimes. I'm like, but I want to do this. No, you can't. But I want to get mad about this. No, it's not the right thing. But I want it. No. And He won't leave me alone. And you won't sleep. You'll lose your appetite. You'll kick yourself every day until you do what He tells you to do. Because this place is not ours. And we've been raised up for this purpose. Esther was raised up to do one thing. She lived all her life, did everything she did. That's the only thing the Bible ever talks about her doing. That's it. That was the queen. She could have done many, many other things, and probably did. But none of it was the will and purpose of God. God don't care about all that other stuff. You know, He wants you to fulfill His word. And when you realize that you raised up for this, then all this other stuff you're trying to do, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. If you make a dollar, that's fine. If you don't make a dollar, Jesus said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He wasn't worried about that. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a wife and kids and a retirement plan. He didn't worry about any of that. He went everywhere He went because He was about His Father's business. And if you go to places that are nice, thank God. Usually I get sent to places that are not so nice. I'm thinking, Lord, why don't I get to go to, I won't say where, but nice places, plush places, air conditioned, really nice. That's not altogether the way God sends me. And I can't say that that's not the way God sends others, because they are just blessed to go that way. I'm just blessed to go the way I go. And I'm not complaining about it, Lord. I'm just saying, you know, throw me a bone every once in a while. I was talking to Brother Tony the other day, and he's getting on me, because he always gets on me and tries to convince me that we're older and it's, you know, we got to take care of ourselves. So I'm trying to figure this thing out about Africa, and he's giving me this long write-up about, you need to go economy, you need to step it up, get up the better flight, you know you owe. I said, I am not that old. But we're not used to that. We're used to taking the rougher side of it, sleeping on the mats and on the floors, and not eating in the nicer places, but eating where the people eat. I would feel bad to go somewhere to preach, and then they take me to a fancy restaurant, and then the people who are with me are eating in a place that's not so nice. I'd rather eat with the people. That's like Brother Childers always said, I'll die with the poor. He did, because he was there here with us. But you know what? We're about our Father's business. That's what we're here to do. We're here to be about our Father's business, and it's not, this world's not ours. And musicians, come on, we're going to sing This World Is Not My Home. And I was wondering if it's in this book, and I found it, and it's in here. So this tablet, or whatever you call it. I enjoyed that, Brother Jeremiah. We are a rugged group of people. We take the heart away. You know, when Brother Branham was feeling bad about himself, and he thought that he looked at Oral Roberts, and he looked at Billy Graham, and they had these big universities and big churches, and they were just catered to and plush and all of that. And Brother Branham looked at his little headquarters. It was in a little trailer that they had out, pulled up somewhere, and that was his headquarters. And he didn't have nothing. And he thought, Lord, you know, what about me? And God told him, he said, you know what? He said, you've taken the heart away. He said, and that's my way. And he said, you have a reward waiting for you. So don't worry about if this life, and we're not, it's not really that hard. Come on, church. Come on. We've been really blessed. There's a lot harder ways that you could have gone. You're sitting in an air-conditioned church with lights and carpet and everything just catered to you and the word just flowing. You know, it's not hard to get a revelation. It's just so easy here. We've got it made. Just like Jay was saying about, I think you're talking about that text we got the other day. And the text was, it wasn't a hard question to us, but it was a hard question to them. And because we've been taught so well and so much that it wasn't even a minute. Just read the question and answered right back. It's like, it's not even hard. We've been blessed, church. So why not give him our all? Why not just let him have our lives? Because that's what he wants. That's what he's going to get. And you can either do it the way he wants you to do it, or you can do it your way and he'll fix it. Because he knows how to get his man. So come back on Sunday. And let's see what the Lord has in store for us. Remember, we pray because I'm feeling the itch to go. And I can't get it off my mind. I'm making some steps. And so you just pray. If it's what God wants, I'll do it. If it's what I want, not necessarily. I'd rather spend the time. But you know what? I'm a weirdest creature. If I go on vacation, I think I could be spending this time preaching somewhere. I'd rather spend my time. If I'm going to spend a week somewhere, I'd rather be holding a meeting or doing something for the kingdom. I mean, I'm okay with vacation, and you need to do that and take care of your family. And Brother Childers said, if I did one thing differently, I would spend more time with my family. So I try to do that and give them those vacation and time to do that. But honestly, when I'm sitting around, I'm thinking I could be spending this time for the kingdom. So you pray, because I'm feeling like I'm about ready to make some decisions that's going to cause me to have to go some places. So just keep us in your mind, because this world's not our home. We're not here to build a living for ourselves and be set here. So keep these things in mind. Keep us in your prayers. Continue to pray for those that have been asking for requests and looking forward to the meetings in Kentucky coming up. So there's a lot of things ahead of us that I'm excited about seeing us have that service. So, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven, open doors. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? For the angels beckon me from open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me. They're all expecting me. That's one thing that I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know him.
praise.